Welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. It's just a few days before Christmas. And yes, by the time you listen to this, it'll be 2025. That's crazy. I just got a juicer. And I know you're like, okay, is that exciting? Yes, it is. I've been juicing for, I want to say, most of my life. And I'm talking about juicing vegetables in a machine. Partly I grew up with it. My mom did it. She would mainly just juice carrots. I would actually drink so much carrot juice because we had it every day that my hands started to turn orange. Like, I'm not joking, from the beta carotene, to the point that when I went to school, someone actually asked me if I had jaundice. And I'm like, no, I'm just drinking a lot of carrot juice. But I juice all kinds of things. I do this whole thing with beets, carrots, celery, lemon, lime, apple, ginger, and turmeric if I find it. And then also I put in kale or cucumber, but not all the time. So for the longest time, since 2014, I've had the Breville juicer, which is a centrifugal juicer. And it's been great. It's 2024, almost 2025. And just now I'm getting less liquid out of my vegetables. They come out very wet. The motor is still working, but it sounds very loud. I think, okay, it's time to get a new juicer. So at work at the hotel, they gave a $100 gift card to every single employee. There's about 1,000 employees. If you think about all the servers, all the kitchen, back of the house, and there's 8 different outlets. You've got all the office people. So everyone got a gift card. So with that gift card, I decided to get this juicer. And I got a Ninja juicer. And I tried it for the first time just now. And it's a cold press juicer. So if you see cold press everywhere, it's a big deal. You'll probably see it on your olive oil. The difference is, so my previous juicer was centrifugal. It's a very loud motor. It has a lot of power. And it basically disintegrates the vegetables when you put them in. It's very fast. That's the upside. But it destroys some vitamins as you do it. But I've been used to this fast process. And now this juicer, you have to cut everything smaller. And it takes a lot longer. It probably takes about 3 times as long. But it's cold pressed. Apparently, this has 35% more vitamins and minerals than if you use a centrifugal juicer. So anyway, I tried it and I'm impressed, first of all, with the amount of juice. It has a very good amount of juice that comes out. It does have some small little vegetable pieces, very few, not like a huge bad thing, but I just noticed a difference between my other juicer. You know, you don't have any pieces and it's kind of foamy only because it goes so fast through the sifter. So this one took a lot longer, but the flavor is different. It almost has more flavor. Like, I could taste more of the individual vegetables that I put in. So anyway, I'm going to continue and see how I like it, but I like it. You know, I'm impressed with it. I definitely have to be a bit more patient because I have to cut everything smaller and it goes through. I like it so far. I mean, I got most of it for free. It was like $120. So the hotel paid for $100. And yeah, I can't believe it. It's almost Christmas. I have to work Christmas Day because I work in the hospitality industry, which today I was like, why did I do this? Why did I decide to go to culinary school? Sometimes I question that whole thing. You know, I feel like maybe I should have gone down a different route. I don't know. So the good thing is now with the hotel, I have health insurance. So I went to the doctor. So this health insurance is actually better than a manager health insurance that I had prior. This is part of the union health insurance. And you have lower deductibles, which means, you know, if you need something, you don't have to pay out of pocket to begin with, depending on what it is. So I went to the dentist, I got a cleaning and all that, and I didn't need anything else. I did have part of my tooth chipped off, which on my left side, I have a strong bite, and I had to go back and the dentist filled the chip, even though when she gave me anesthesia, she went straight into my major nerve. I feel like it bruised and it hurt for a few days after. Other than that, everything was fine. And then my doctor gave me all these referrals for different things, and everything's covered. So one of them is my arthritis in my pinky finger. I still have, and you know, it hasn't gotten better, but it also hasn't gotten worse per se. But they said I can get x-rays done on the hands to see if it's progressively getting worse. I'm like, okay. So she gave me a referral for that, and I did. I got my x-rays done. I haven't gotten results yet. Then I went and got my blood taken so they can check out my blood sugar levels. I haven't gotten results yet. I have to go back for all that. And then I have an appointment for the podiatrist because I have a hammer toe. And basically, I'm going to all these places because it's covered. So I'm like, okay, sure, I'll go. I went to the dermatologist. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's not vitiligo, but it's basically a discoloration of your skin cells. And it typically starts on the back. It's a fungal infection. I know that sounds gross, but I don't know how I got it. It's typically when you sweat a good amount and when there's a lot of humidity. And I've been going to the beach a lot, and somehow in there, I got it maybe like 4 months ago during the summer. So now on my back, it's just part of the skin, but there's parts where like spots are lighter than my regular skin color. And it's a little bit itchy. So apparently it's like some sort of a fungi called Tinea versicolor. I have to put this cream on it, and it'll probably, they say, go away within a month. Like, it's a slow process, but it does spread, you know, so that's why I had to take this cream. So anyway, that was a dermatologist. And then I also went to the eye doctor, and it turns out that my eye doctor in Aspen gave me the wrong prescription, because when I drive, I need driving glasses. And when I sit in front of the computer, I need reading glasses. But the prescriptions they gave me were like two clicks stronger. And I know this because when I take off my glasses, all of a sudden, the adjusting is hard for me, you know, and I have to like close my eyes for a second. They said it doesn't harm my eyes by prescribing stronger, but it can just make you more tired, and it does for longer amounts of time. So now they gave me a different prescription, which is a lot lighter, but the insurance only covers one pair of glasses. But I need also prescribed sunglasses for when I'm driving. Anyway, I went to the eye doctor. And then there's another doctor. So the fertility doctor. This is not covered by the insurance, which I wouldn't say is a problem. But there have been some changes as far as possibly having a child. Like, this discussion has entered the conversation. And I never thought really that would happen. Like, it's not like I'm against kids. Maybe there was a time where I was. But most of my life, I just never met the right person. And the thing is, I never thought it was really the right time. But that's the thing. It's never the right time. There's always something going on, you know? So it's like, it just has to happen, basically. But, you know, my husband is younger, and he says he would like to have a child. You know, he doesn't want to have a marriage without a child. So this is the one thing, you know, that we see differently on. I did know that before we got married. I've shifted my mind thinking, you know, yeah, maybe I could have a child. I'm 45. I'm going to be 46 in 2025. And that's very close to not having kids anymore, not being able to, right? Close to menopause. So my husband wants a child, but he doesn't want one now. But the thing is, I don't want to keep waiting. I don't want to be closer to 50 and then have a child. Like, I have back pain now. How's it going to be when I keep getting older? You know, I'm already at this point where I feel like it's either now or never kind of thing. And I do have some signs of perimenopause. You know, it is the beginning, so to speak, but I can still have kids in theory, right? Like it's never been tested. So yes, there's this one discussion to go to the fertility doctor, but it's not covered by insurance. And just the consultation is $250. So the reason for going is to freeze my eggs, right? I never thought I would be looking into this. But then I looked into the cost of it and I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. Because first of all, it's like between $13,000 to $20,000 for the whole thing, right? Like it's about $8,000 to freeze and then another $8,000 to $10,000 around there, depending on where you go, to flash, thaw, and insert, basically. First of all, that's not 100%. Like, nothing is 100%, right? And how long is it going to be frozen for? Like, this whole time when you're freezing, you have to pay for all that. Let's say I do wait another few years, right? There's no guarantees. And then I'm like almost 50. Like, I don't want a kid at 50. So my point is, I don't think this fertility doctor is going to happen. Like, I don't see it to be a necessity for me because, like I said, it's either now or never. So I guess if there is a clash, that's the one thing. You know, it's a big thing. It's a very big thing. And yes, you have to be ready for it. But also, if I can have it naturally, wouldn't that make more sense? So anyway, that's like an ongoing thing. But the conversation has started. And if I'm looking back, like when was there a time when I thought, oh, let me have a child? Like I was very much just doing my own thing, you know? And before I knew it, I've been in this industry for 15 years. I mean, the time just went by so fast. And in that time, it's so impossible for women. I mean, we think we can do it all. And yes, we can do a lot. I know. But I can't imagine having done all of what I did plus have a child. Like something would have had to give. I wouldn't have been able to take my classes in Italy. I wouldn't have been able to just go to Switzerland and live there for a year. And just thinking about that, I would work 14, 16 hour days sometimes. And you can't do that when you have a child. It's so hard being a woman in this industry, especially, and trying to figure it all out, you know, to have this career and to have a home life. I mean, so many chefs that I worked with, their marriages failed. First of all, they were alcoholics or had addictions. But I get it. The stress of the business, the stress of all the events and just having to get it done, and then the stress of not having enough employees and you have to step in and fill that void. Yeah, it wrecks your home life and it wrecks you as a person. And the lengths that chefs go, you know, in the end, they just destroy themselves. And I felt it, like I feel it in my body now from the last 15 years. It's ridiculous, you know, and I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to shift something in my life for the better. But right now, it feels like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm going backwards only because I'm not a chef right now. But also, I don't want to be. When I saw my chef during Christmas and Thanksgiving, I was so happy I was not in that position. I could just leave after my time. You know, yes, now I have even more physical duties. You know, as a chef, it's more mental. But I don't envy being a chef. The only thing I'm missing is more of the money. And it's not like the money's that crazy. You know, but I was making better money in Aspen for sure than I am now. Even though being in the union, I just got a $2 raise. They passed raises in the next 4 years for $10 more an hour. So every year now, starting in June, There's going to be, I think, another $2 raise. So pretty much every 6 months there's going to be a raise, which is nice. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be there the next 4 years, but it's nice. You know, the union does make a difference. I see it in the hotel. I see it in the way that the staff has been there forever. You know, it really does make a difference, and you're taken care of as far as insurance goes. Like, I get it. I really do see that difference. So a few weeks ago, we had to picket, actually, because the hotel wasn't budging. They weren't deciding on the raise. So the union said, okay, fine, you don't want to make a decision. We're all going to picket. So everyone at 8 a.m. went on the beach side of the hotel in front of the rooms, and we walked along, you know, like this line, and then kept walking in circles, kind of, you know, it was like a long elongated circle along the beach, holding up signs, banging on sheet trays, basically saying, and a lot of it was in Spanish, so I don't really know what was going on. You know, I was trying here, but we were banging on sheet trays. I mean, I was just holding up a sign, basically saying, you know, you can't fool us. We don't work for free, you know, or I forget what it was. It wasn't obviously for free. It was like, one job isn't enough. Like, why isn't one job enough? Something like that. And then they kept going to Spanish, which I was like, okay, I don't know what's happening here. But it worked. Guests, they walked in front of their windows. Like, basically, we woke them up. There was this guest in his underwear just staring out, being like, what the hell's happening? The news came because basically the union contacts the news and they make everything a thing. So that went on for an hour. And then the manager of the offices, I don't know exactly who, but they came out and they saw it, and their face just looked one of dread. But it's like, you know, the union's going to do it. Why let it get to that point? You know, just give them what they want, basically. But it was so crazy because on one side, we're employees of the hotel, right? Like, we're ambassadors, so to speak. So we have to uphold the hotel. At the same time, if we're not getting what we need, we're going to make a noise and picket in front of the hotel, against the hotel, which is so crazy to me because I've never been on that side. You know, I'm always on the side of, oh, like, we have to look good for the hotel. But that day was the opposite, like banging on sheet trays, making a sound, walking in circles, like yelling. And that was so crazy to me. And it worked, you know. So after that, the hotel signed for the next 4 years to get a $10 raise in that time. Yes, it's a good amount of money, right? So I made 26. Then I got $2 raise. I make 28. And then the $2 just now was part of that $10 in 4 years. So basically in 4 years, I would make $36 an hour, you know, which again, it's not like a crazy amount, but it's good. It's pretty good. I mean, everything here is expensive. So if you think about it, when I was looking at chef positions when I moved here, some of them were making like between 70 and 80,000, which is not a lot. If you think about working minimum 10 hours, which mostly ends up being 11 or 12, and then holidays, it's always like 14, 16. So if you think about that and bring the 75,000 down to an hourly rate, I mean, your hourly employees are making more, you know? So it's like, you just get shorted as a chef. You're there in the kitchen all day. You go home, you can't afford crap because you're basically working for so little money. I feel like in a lot of ways, the hourly wins. You know, the only thing that really bugs me is because it's union, it goes by seniority, which is really good when you've been there a long time. You know, that's why they've been there a long time, because you can't get pushed out. Like, unless you do something for which you can get fired, right? But the union has your back. So just because you're older, you can't get pushed out, you know? or whatever happens. So it goes by seniority, and that's fair. But it sucks for when there's no shifts, you know? So already, now it's New Year's, and, you know, I'm recording at different times because I just haven't had a time to actually sit and record. But today is New Year's Eve, and it's my day off, finally, because I've actually been working 6 days in a row, which is good for money, but not good for my mental state. But I saw next week's schedule, and I'm going to Hawaii with Rudolfo. We're having our delayed honeymoon and just vacation. I would have liked to have three shifts because there's three work days in the next schedule. But already, because it's so slow, I just have two, you know, plus my requested days off. So I'm scared about January because, again, to maintain this insurance, I have to have 90 hours a month. And yesterday I went to a podiatrist, which is a foot doctor, and they did x-rays of my feet. So I have like a bunion on the left side, and it doesn't hurt. Like sometimes it does if, let's say, I went hiking, right? I'm not hiking right now, but they did a measurement, and between your big toe and your second toe, it's supposed to be 8 to 10 millimeter space. Mine is 14 millimeters. So it's more than it should be, but it's not crazy because I'm not having pain. Like some other feet are extreme, but they suggested orthotics, which are insoles that you put in your shoe. And I got some a couple years ago in Aspen, but the foot doctor's saying they're a bit too flexible. They should be harder to give me more support. So, but these orthotics are $550. And I don't know if my insurance covers it. So now I have to do a payment plan. And I'm like, God, I can't I can't afford anything. But the cool thing is, you know, that I could go to a foot doctor, right? To see the bones of my feet, which was kind of crazy to see. That's nice. You know, as you age, insurance gets more and more important. And that's like such a scary thing that it's attached to your job. It's so ridiculous. But the point of getting the x-ray was for them to see if your bones are grinding on another, if your joints are healthy. So overall, my feet are healthy. I just need insoles for now to not have the bunion hurt or stick out more in millimeters. Because apparently people go there that can't walk anymore and they have to have surgery. I'm not at that point to have surgery. Thank goodness. Because if that were the case, I would have to like rest for 4 months and not be able to walk and all this stuff, which luckily I don't have to do. I did see this old lady. I think it was her son that pushed her out. She was in a wheelchair. And I don't know her age, but she was wasting away. Like she did not look good. Her legs, like her thigh was as big as my arm bone. Like, they were so skinny, and I felt just seeing her made me feel like we just waste away. Like, we just waste away. What is the point? You know, like, we at one point in our lives are thriving. We have all these hopes and dreams. We have all these ideas. Cut to years later, sitting in a wheelchair, having your kid, if you had a child who's now also old, push you out of a doctor's office and you can't walk. And her neck was like forward. She wasn't even really in her own body. You know, her neck was forward. She was looking down, like waiting for any day to die. You know, obviously I don't know the situation. I'm just seeing it. And it just made me feel like, what is the point? Like, okay, it's New Year's Eve. A new year is happening. I'm going to try and be positive. It's not like I'm feeling negative, but sometimes life is so like you're in it, right? You're doing what you can. You're living for your kids, your husband. And then it just seems sometimes like we're just creating, you know, our own life and the things we want. And then most of those don't really end up happening. Or sometimes they happen in an amazing way that you could never imagine, you know, but I don't know. I'm not trying to say all these negative things, but it just made me think, seeing her, like, wow, is this all there is? And lately, I've been feeling, well, not lately, but sometimes, right? Like mentioning that I feel like I'm going backwards a little bit. Maybe it just feels like that because I'm in a new area, right? I'm in an area I haven't been in before. Even though with my business, like I didn't do the market the last couple of weeks because of the holidays, there wasn't a market because, you know, New Year's and Christmas, they fell on a Tuesday. So there was no market. But besides that, it's just, it's so hard to get things going, you know, regarding my own business. And sometimes I feel just hopeless about it. Sometimes I get just weird reactions on social media. And I think the most positive things is to meet people in person and to have conversations and all this. But I don't know if I have the energy. I just don't know if I have the energy for all these events. Like during Christmas, I did do an extra event at this like stretch lab. It's called Stretch Lab, and they stretch people, and it's like a 30-minute stretch session. You know, it's not quite a chiropractor. It's kind of just to make people feel good through stretching them, but it's another person stretching you, so it's a deep stretch. I went there for their Christmas party and I sold some things, and it was cool. Like they didn't have me pay to be there. You know, usually you have to pay for the site like you do at the market. I didn't have to pay a fee, and it was just basically what people bought, and people were very generous. It was only like 5 people. It wasn't anything crazy, but I made like $100, you know, and I met the people there, and overall I think it was positive. It was a lot of work just because I baked extra items and extra things. But that's what I mean is it just takes time. Everything's taking time. And sometimes I just don't know if I have it in me. Is this kitchen thing, is this my life? Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? I enjoy it to a point, you know, I don't want to just kill myself doing it. Yeah, so I just have those thoughts, you know, and then I see this old woman and I'm thinking, oh, shit. Like, is this all there is? You know, I mean, yes, I'm doing this podcast because I enjoy this angle too. You know, I like voiceover and I like having a connection with people on a different level. Like, I've been listening to this podcast called Smartless, and I've mentioned this before, but I just enjoy hearing about actors that have made it and how they started. And just the dreams they had and why they felt this connection to do this business. You know, I had that same connection when I remember seeing a play in high school, and it made me just want to get on stage. Like there was a strong connection. The same with baking. You know, there's a different connection. Like there's a point in our lives where something happens and we're just like, yes, I want to do that. And I've had it for everything that I've done, you know, and we all have that with whatever we're doing. There's a reason we're doing it. But does that mean we have to do it forever, you know? Or does that twist into something else that we do? You know, like, for example, I will start teaching in February. I'll start teaching baking. Like, yes, it can twist into something like that, but sometimes I think to have a connection between acting and baking, you know, which is why sometimes I tried the cooking shows, but that doesn't work out, you know, or hasn't yet. And it's just like, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing, right? Like when we're in college or growing up, right? We're supposed to know what we want to do. But honestly, I never really feel like I've reached that point where I'm 100% in what I want to do and what I'm doing. You know, even in the kitchen, there's always this background noise in my head being like, is this it? Is this really it? You know, and I just feel like there's got to be more, you know, so that's why I moved to Switzerland. That's why I try all these other things, because I'm so curious about so many things. Is that bad? I don't know. But it feels like I'm never happy where I'm at. You know, and maybe that's not the right way to describe it. Like, I'm happy doing the things I'm doing, but I'm good at always looking at the next thing. Is that bad? Should I just be grateful where I'm at and just focus on that? You know, why can't I just figure it out? Why am I always so restless? Like, is it just me? Or are there so many others of you that have this feeling that is there more? There's got to be more, right? And I'm not doing it for greed. I'm just doing it for like inner happiness, you know? But some people are happy just with, I don't know, like just doing this one thing and it fulfills them 100%. Or does it? Or do they just say it does? You know what I mean? Or is it just the Gemini in me, right? Like, I'm always looking for adventure. I'm always looking for the next thing. I love going out and just doing outdoorsy things and doing new things. Like, I'm so curious all the time. And it feeds into my job and my life. You know, is that a bad thing? I don't know. If I look at some people, I'd be like, why am I just not happy? You know, or it's not like that I'm not happy. Like, I love who I am. You know, I love being with my husband. I love this life and it's really forming into something special. But I don't feel like I've reached where I'm supposed to be yet. Should I be at that point now at 45? Like, are we all still feeling that way? You know? Like, is that why we continue having this passion for life? You know, and if we stop having this passion, is that when we give up? Is that when we have depression? You know, I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I do know that I'm not done. And whatever is happening right now, I'm figuring out how to make the things that I love and to just like create something in the future. And I don't know what that is. You know, is it my own business? Is it something to do with this podcast? I don't know. But all I know is right now, I still enjoy baking. Or is it just me being delirious because I'm working all the time? Like, is that what it is? I did use my poll this morning. So I put up my poll. And I haven't used my poll in such a long time. And doing this job, I've been having more back pain, you know, so I have to stretch a lot more. And I thought this morning, like, I didn't have to get up at 4:30. My husband had already left. And I thought, yeah, maybe let me try this pole, you know? And I did basic things. And it hurt. Like, it hurt just doing these basic things. And I'm like, crap. Like, I'm really out of shape. But after I did, like, 15 minutes with the pole, I felt good. Like, I just felt, like, stretched, you know? And I thought, damn, I have to like do this again, you know? And I hate that. I hate that I was at a good point with it. Like, I was really good. I wasn't like amazing, but I was good. And now I'm looking back thinking, ugh, like I want to be that good again. So I don't know where I'm going with this. I guess I just have these thoughts in my head, apparently, you know? And I just, some days I just don't know where it's all going. Like, I'm not completely happy working at the hotel and just being a pastry cook. Like, that, to me, is not my calling, you know? But I couldn't handle another chef job. Just, I needed a break because I was so burned out from Aspen, you know? So I thought, oh, doing my own thing, that would be better. I don't know if it's better, like, because it's even more work in different ways. And it's so hard. If I did my own business full time, it's almost more stressful, you know, but maybe it would move faster. I don't know. There's only so much energy that I have and of things that I can do. And yeah, I guess I don't know what is the right answer. The right answer is just take one step a day, you know, just do one thing a day. And sometimes if you can't do something that day, I guess it's okay too. You can't always put this pressure on yourself. And that's how I feel. And the last few weeks, basically the whole of December, has just been crazy. Right after Rodolfo came back, it was his birthday. And then we traveled to San Francisco for like a wedding party. And then we've just been working a lot. And then we had Thanksgiving where we had friends over. And then I had all these events, you know, for my baking, plus just craziness at work. It was a buffet for 1,000 people for Thanksgiving, you know, and then for Christmas, we had people over, and that was a lot of fun. But everything just takes a lot of energy, you know. So when my husband came back from Brazil, he arrived on his birthday. Even though that morning when he called me before he arrived, I had just woken up and he was about to take his flight from Brazil to the US. And I was going on, like, have a great flight. And then he's like, by the way, it's my birthday. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't wish him a happy birthday. And I felt so terrible. Meanwhile, I'd been setting up the whole apartment with happy birthday signs. I made a cake. Like, everything had to do with his birthday. And then when he finally called on his birthday, I forgot to say happy birthday, you know? So I made sure that when he got home, you know, there was a big sign saying happy birthday. I made this coconut cake. It was kind of like soaked with a coconut cream filling. That night, I planned to go to the Lafayette Hotel. It was this really beautiful hotel. It's the oldest historic hotel in San Diego. It's around Hillcrest. It was all set up for Christmas, just decorations everywhere. And there was this diner inside, like kind of 60s, 50s style. And I brought this mini carrot cake that they sent out to him after dinner. We were there with two friends of ours. And then after dinner, we decided, which we had planned, to go to this jazz concert, I guess. But you basically just find a cocktail table and sit, or you can dance. And then there's this full live orchestra of like trombone, drums, you know, really cool. So that was a lot of fun. He hadn't had any sleep pretty much since his whole flight. So he had this extra, extra long day. But it was a really cool place. I highly recommend it. Okay, now going back to like a week ago. It's after Christmas. I had to work. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I don't even know everything that's happened. I feel like I'm getting sick, because always that's what happens, right? When you work in the kitchen, everyone has been so overworked that after all the craziness, everyone just gets sick. So today I go into work, and pastry's separate from the main kitchen. Pastry's in the basement. Some people are sick. And then upstairs in the main kitchen, people are wearing masks, you know, but not even like regular masks. But you know, those things that you wear when you're maybe jogging or something, I don't even know what they're called, but they're not actual masks. So I don't even know, because we realized during COVID that they don't actually work. But anyway, they're back. So everyone's basically sick. I had to work over Christmas. It was okay. We made all these different desserts, like 12 different desserts, mousse desserts, like a mini cheesecake in a cup. We did like cookie, a hot cookie where people can have their own toppings on it, like ice cream and cookie crumble. There was hot cocoa with rum. Like, there were a good selection of desserts, and it was nice. And I was out there serving people the hot cookie. And I was joking, I was talking with them, ha ha ha, you know. And then by the time I got home, I was so exhausted. And also probably, you know, getting sick doesn't help. But I was so tired, and mainly because, so I was off Christmas Eve, which was so nice. And that to me was my Christmas. It was perfect. Basically because, like, normally I'm off Tuesday, but because it was a Tuesday, I didn't have a market. And I happened to have off from the hotel. So that was mine and Rodolfo's Christmas, and it was amazing. I woke up, I slept a little bit later. Obviously, when you wake up at 4:30, you can't sleep in that much. I woke up at, I want to say, 6:30, 7, something like that. And I watched a Christmas movie, Scrooged, which still holds up. And I really like the fairy. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I remember with Bill Murray, it was really good. And I was just so happy that I was watching a Christmas movie and not doing anything. The lights were on from the tree. We have this real tree that my husband surprised me with. He got it a few days after Thanksgiving. And at that point, I was upset with myself that I didn't have a tree yet. Actually, it was December. It was mid-December, and I still didn't have a tree because I was just so busy. And finally, I said to my husband, I'm like, I'm just going to go get a tree today. And then he said, no, I got one. And I guess he was going to surprise me even more with it, but I was just going to get one. Sometimes I do that. I go on a rampage, and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get one. But then he said it's in the truck, he's going to set it up, and then I got home and he already set it up, which was really sweet. So then we decorated it together that night, which was really nice. I've never actually been with somebody who wanted to decorate a tree with me. So I wasn't used to that, you know? So I pulled out all my ornaments, and I have all these food ornaments and milkshakes and chocolate dip strawberry ornaments and, you know, all of that. And he put them all on the tree, and it's a really good sized tree. It's, I want to say 7 foot. Like, it's pretty tall. So then on Christmas Eve, we exchanged gifts, and he got me a skydiving gift to go skydiving. I had asked for it, and I've been skydiving twice before. Once when I was, I think, for my 16th birthday, and that was in Georgia when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. And back then it was like 18th birthday. It was like 1998 or something. And you had to wear this full one-piece outfit. A separate videographer had to go jump with you so you could have a video at the end of it. And I got the video. It's still on VHS. On it is that Top Gun music, like the whole video. So then I skydove again when I was living in Arizona, and I did it in Phoenix in the desert, which was awesome. It was like this amazing day. In the morning, I went skydiving, and I realized everything had changed. Like, now you don't need to wear a separate outfit. You can just wear your regular jeans and t-shirt. And of course, you know, I go tandem with somebody, because I'm not going to just jump out of a plane, you know, by myself. Instead of having a separate videographer, the skydiver just had a GoPro with him, and he could take pictures and video, and that was super cool. And that was, I want to say, like 6 years ago, something like that. A few years before I went to Switzerland, maybe like 8 years, I don't know. But so that was in Phoenix, and now I'm going to do it again by the ocean. So it's going to be a little bit different. But I asked him for it, and I was feeling really adventurous. And he's like, are you sure? And I said, yes, you want to do it with me? And he's like, hell no. But he got me the gift, and it was through Groupon. And it was like a special. It was like a Christmas special. So he got that. And then I got us a sushi making class, which we did yesterday. And that was a lot of fun. I'd actually never made sushi before, and we both really enjoy sushi. So we drove up, and it happened in the back of this cellar, this wine cellar where they make the wine. And they use this space to have classes in, and most of them are cooking classes, which I thought was really smart to use that space for something else to make money. This cooking class was for sushi, and now we're excited because for New Year's Eve, we're going to make our own sushi. Like, in the class, we made a California roll, and it actually tasted really good. We got to eat it at the end. It didn't look as professional, but it didn't look bad. My husband bought a whole kit with all the stuff, like the mat. What else? I don't know what it entails. I haven't looked at it. But he ordered in with all the stuff. And then I'm going to go get all the ingredients. Like, we want to do it with some salmon, some tuna, get some of that roe, you know, those little orange eggs. So that's our plan for New Year's. And then on Christmas, going back there, I really wanted crab cakes. And I just wanted crab cakes. Like, I don't know why, but to me, crab cakes are just really tasty and special, you know? Like, I feel like I'm just meated out these days. I don't really care too much for meat because it's always there, you know? Not like I always eat it, but I just wanted something different. So I wanted to make crab cakes. The night before, I went to a body pump class and I decided to go to the grocery store after to get some crab meat, only to find out everything was gone. Like, the grocery store was empty pretty much with necessities, including crab meat. So I had to go to a different one, and luckily they had it, but it was filled with last minute shoppers. You know, and even though that was our Christmas, it was everybody else's Christmas Eve. So who knows what shopping would have been like on Christmas Eve? I don't know. But I'm glad we didn't have to go anywhere. So I found the crab meat, and then on Christmas Day for lunch, I made crab cakes with a salad, and it was delicious. Like, when you buy crab cakes, there's a lot of filler, a lot of breadcrumbs, some flour, because crab is expensive. So I got jumbo lump crab meat, like a small, it's not a can, but it's sealed like a can, like you open it like a can. But they came out delicious. I made the crab cakes. I made like a cucumber salad. It had cranberry in it, some pepita nuts. And Rodolfo and I had lunch. And then later on, like, we just relaxed and even took a nap. Like, I took a nap on Christmas Eve. And then later on, we had friends come over, Brazilian friends. And guess what? Rodolfo surprised me with a karaoke machine. The one thing I keep talking about, like, not a karaoke machine, but I always talk about karaoke and let's go sing karaoke. And now he's like, you deserve this karaoke machine. And it's such a good speaker. It has such good sound. So here I was singing karaoke in our apartment. Later on, another friend arrived and he knocked on the door as we're singing, like, with other people. I think I was singing, "What's going on?" And I said, "Hey, yeah, yeah," you know, that song. And everyone was singing it. And then the door knocked super loud. And I'm thinking it's a neighbor or something. I quickly turn off the microphone and I run, like, into the apartment away from the living room where the door is. And everyone starts laughing because it wasn't a neighbor. It was another friend that came over. And, you know, nobody complained about the sound. We stopped in a timely manner at a timely time. And it was a fun night. It was a really fun night. So that was Christmas. But hold on, hold on. Can you guess what we had dinner-wise for Christmas? I'll give you three guesses. Was it turkey? No. Was it, what else is there? Ham? No. You know, I married a Brazilian, right? Yes, you guessed it. We had a Brazilian barbecue for Christmas. That's it. You know, my life is filled with barbecues forever. And the good thing was I didn't have to worry about a thing. Like, they did everything, even though I still made a charcuterie plate and bought way too much cheese. Oh, and I had cheese fondue, and I made a Brazilian flan, my first time making Brazilian flan, and it was all gone. They ate the whole thing. I had other cakes and other desserts because I can't not make anything, right? Like, people are coming over to my apartment. I can't not make, like, something. So, of course, I made too much. But it was popular. I ate most of the fondue and not too much of the barbecue, except for that grilled cheese. That Brazilian grilled cheese with honey is so, so good. It's my favorite. So, yeah, I just had a ton of cheese and Brazilian flan. But it was a really fun night. And then the next day, I had to work for Christmas Day. You know, so yes, I did end up getting sick. So I tried the juicer, right? I ordered this juicer and I ended up trying it. I've been using it the last few days since I bought it. I really feel like it made me better fast. The flavor of the vegetables are super strong. I taste them more individually. There's no foam. The color of the juice is better. Yes, it takes longer to make, but I think overall it was a positive thing to buy. And yes, it's New Year's Eve, right? So I'm back to now. Tomorrow is 2025. I don't know what craziness is going to happen. You know craziness will happen, right? Like just knowing the inauguration January 20th, that's coming up. Who knows what 2025 will bring? I do feel positive. You know, all I can do is be grateful for what I have. Be grateful that I'm healthy. You know, that I'm able to go to all these doctors, which I am grateful for. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for all these things, my new life here. You know, even though it's almost been a year, right? In April, I would have been here 1 year already. And January 6th, we go to Hawaii. So I'll have to do a whole separate podcast on that. And I still haven't talked about San Francisco when we went right before Thanksgiving. Or was it after? I don't even remember. But we went to San Francisco and we went to Alcatraz, which was an amazing experience. I really want to talk about that. So yes, I have to catch up on everything. But I want to end it with today, just take one day at a time. Be grateful for what you have, even if it's the smallest things. I'm just grateful for my body. My limbs, like I can function. There's so many terrible things out there, you know, and it can just mess us up physically. And just in a flash, crazy things happen. So I'm just grateful for my apartment, my husband, San Diego, you know, for being here, for taking the leap. And I never want to stop taking these leaps as far as trusting myself and knowing whatever's going to happen, it's going to be okay. You know, yes, trying things will happen. They always do. But just know that there is another side. You will get through it. There is a positive light at the end of the tunnel. You know, so happy New Year. Happy 2025. Thank you all so much for listening to my weird stories. And hopefully they entertain. You know, hopefully they give you some things to think about. I know I'm not always very deep, but I try to have some sort of a theme in my episodes. And yes, just thank you. Here's to 2025. Thank you for listening to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.